Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed firsthand the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking. On this podcast, we'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving business. I'm here with Jacqueline O'Donnell. She's the founder of Math Refresh, which is a math education company with a fresh take on math learning. She partners with New York State certified teachers, providing high quality math education opportunities, serving families, students, and school communities through educational consulting, private tutoring, and STEM programming. So it's great to meet you, Jacqueline. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your background and why you started Math Refresh?
Sure. So it has been a long and winding journey that's led me here. I started Math Refresh as I was tutoring a lot in my time while in grad school to become a math teacher. And for a couple of years before that, I graduated with my degree and my certification in the midst of the pandemic in 2020. So my first teaching assignment was in March of 2020. And I had met my students in person twice before everything went online. So kind of spent that spring learning a lot of online teaching skills and trying to connect with students in a time where they were not necessarily wanting to learn, and with this quest of making math very relevant and interesting for students. From there, I spent the next 2 years in the classroom teaching geometry to high schoolers. And I could see a lot of the learning gaps popping up from the pandemic when during the spring of that year, learning was not necessarily the main focus, but students were still being held to these standards for learning. And I felt like I could help to create change in STEM education through more of my private tutoring work than being in the classroom. So I decided to leave my classroom position and pursue tutoring full time. And that became a really fun project for me because it allowed me to blend my background of my bachelor's degree is in public relations and marketing. So I took that to try to rebrand math, so to speak, as being very relevant and something that could be fun to learn for students. And I used that as the foundation for Math Refresh. And at this point, we are in our third year of business. October is our third year anniversary. And since the day one of my business, it was just me. And then in our second and third year, we've brought on more teachers to work as tutors for us. So we're able to access a wider community throughout New York State by tutoring through Google Meet. So our tutors and our students meet online.
That's such a great idea, because I know that, like, my daughter was in high school during lockdown. So I know exactly what you were going through at the time. And a lot of people were wondering, how is this going to impact what kids have learned and not learned? And are there going to be gaps? So you saw right away that there were these gaps.
Yes. Yeah. In teaching geometry, it's very interesting that there's a lot of algebra required to do geometry. And I saw that a lot of my students were just missing these very foundational skills, but still being pushed through. And seeing how that was happening in the high school level with my classroom students, I was also starting to see those patterns with my tutoring students, which were more in the middle school level. So I was able to start trying to fill in those gaps on my own, but felt like, all right, well, I need more help with this, which is when I started taking on more teachers as the tutors as well, because they have also seen those gaps in their own classrooms and understand exactly what those skills are that students need to succeed further down the road. And we can really focus our efforts there.
So Are you doing one-on-one tutoring as well as online?
So all of our tutoring is online at this point. Mm-hmm. So it just allows for a lot more flexibility between meeting times and places. And students are very accustomed to learning through Zoom. And our teachers are very well equipped with those skills at this point to keep students engaged and on topic, but also be able to have a lot of fun with it. There are a lot of really great programs that were developed during the time of COVID to help learning be a lot more engaging online. So we're able to incorporate a lot of those into our tutoring sessions and make it a really dynamic and engaging experience for students learning.
What sort of things have you found you need to do differently for online versus in person?
So I would say that there's a lot more communication, and I think it's a really good thing that students have to tell exactly what their steps are and identify their thought processes along the way instead of just regurgitating some process on a paper. It's really forcing them to look at what did I do here and in this step and in this step to help communicate to their tutor via the screen, as well as having that online whiteboard where the tutor can also see their work. So it's really helping to improve students' communication skills and their ability to analyze their own work and look for their own mistake, because it's really forcing them to take the time to slow down with their work and focus exactly on what they did and why they did it, which is the foundation for proofs in geometry and math overall. Is okay, what did you do and why? What allowed you to do that? So it really helps students to not feel like they just have to do a process, but gives them meaning to what they're doing.
To really understand. Yeah, because there's that old joke about like kids doing math in school, and it's like, I'm never actually going to be using this. Algebra, that's one thing. I used to be in printing, and we used to look at each other and say, see, I am using algebra in my real life. But yeah, because there was always that joke. So yeah, the real understanding behind it rather than just memorizing formulas and things mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think having this experience online one-on-one with a tutor allows them to dive deeper into that understanding, where it's a conceptual understanding versus it just being process understanding. And I think a lot of students generally live in the process understanding of doing step by step versus why am I doing it? So our students are able to go even further with their learning.
No, go ahead.
And working one-on-one, it helps to create an environment where they feel safe to take those risks with their learning and ask questions. And I think that's a really big part of the space that we offer in our private tutoring, is that for the students, and I was this student too, I was very scared to raise my hand in school and ask a question in front of my peers. And so having that safe space with a tutor that they grow a relationship with over years. A lot of our students have now worked with their tutors for for my students, more than 2 years. So it becomes a little bit of a mentorship as well, which is a very unique relationship to have at a time where students are looking for that kind of guidance in their life as well.
That sounds like it's great for the children.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many teachers do you have working with you now?
Right now we have 2 tutors working, plus myself. I have a small group of students, which I like to keep just to be able to stay on top of the learning standards and the curriculum. And I find it very interesting to see how students' thought processes change with the new learning standards and how they're teaching it. So I love tutoring. I did start this company to tutor, so I like still being very engaged in it.
Yeah, I understand that. And so what ages do you do the full range from, like, primary through secondary?
Yes. Yeah. So we cover full K through 12 and beyond. Sometimes we do get some college students contacting us for help in their college level courses. And all of our teachers are certified to teach for those grade levels. And we try to keep our tutors with the courses that they have personally taught as well. So they do have a lot of teaching methods already built up to be able to help reteach some of these students these skills.
And because you're doing this virtually, you can teach or tutor anyone within the state, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. So we do have a lot of students. So we do have some students down in New York City. We have a lot locally here in the Saratoga area, but we have expanded our tutors. One of them lives out in like the Ithaca area. One's down in New York City. I'm up here in Saratoga. So we are definitely expanding our reach across the state. And I think with my involvement in some of the math teacher organizations in the state, that that's also helped spread the word about Math Refresh and the mission that we're on.
That's a great idea, a good way to get out there. So you went from being a teacher to owning your own business. Now, you said you had some marketing background through your degree, but what other things did you find maybe a challenge or benefits of being self-employed versus being an employee?
I do think it is both a blessing and a curse to be an entrepreneur. I wear a lot of hats now. So I feel like I am very grateful that I have my marketing background. I think that that is a very big piece of how successful businesses are and how well they're able to communicate to their communities and their target audience what it is that they have to offer. Also feel very confident in the services that we are offering. And I feel like that's able to shine through with our marketing efforts and how much we are participating in our local community, as well as throughout New York State. I think any entrepreneur will tell you it is a journey and you just have to hold on. It's very nice to feel like a salaried employee, but it is also really nice to feel the freedom over your own schedule and that your ideas are yours to make come true. So you're not necessarily relying on other people to say like, yes, that's a good idea, we should go forth with it. I now have the creative freedom to be able to do that and play around. And I really have enjoyed that entire process of seeing, all right, what works, what doesn't, what is really the need within our community? How can we meet that need, sticking to our mission, and get to explore all of the areas to do that. So aside from being a company which offers private tutoring, I also published a book in 2023. That's a children's book. That's a scavenger hunt for math. It walks students through the alphabet and introduces them to some higher order math concepts with a very simple definition and example, and then it asks them to find examples in the world around them. So writing that book was another way that we were able to access a different type of community, maybe for students who don't need tutoring but are really interested in STEM, and provide them with a way to engage more with STEM at an early age. So I've really enjoyed being able to be so creative with just this mission of making math fun and this learning accessible and seeing where it takes me from there.
That sounds great for kids. What age range would that be for?
So I would say at minimum 7 years old, but it uses some concepts that students wouldn't be exposed to until they hit high school, like parabolas and logarithms and probably some words that their parents have heard and they're like, but it really breaks them down to a very simple definition. So this was inspired by an activity that I did with my students when I was a teacher. My introductory activity for geometry was a scavenger hunt through the school, like go find a parallelogram, go find a rectangle.
Exciting.
Yeah. And so I think that like there's an oversight of how much even older students and teenagers still want to be able to play, especially when they're learning. So as much as we can mask learning with this very fun, playful, light feeling activity, that we can engage a lot more students. So I would not limit the book to being just for upper elementary students, but I would say it is appropriate for students even through high school level, where they're also able to feel successful that they can identify a parabola or an ellipse and be able to find their own example of it and feel successful to know what that is, even if they can't do the formula for it and do all of that very nitty-gritty math, they're still able to gain that conceptual understanding. And I think that that's something that we want to foster, or I'm on a mission to foster, is helping everybody to feel successful in their learning and not like math is this untouchable thing that only some people can do. And why do they even do it? And helping to answer that question.
That's a great way to make math more accessible. I love how you've brought your creativity into the teaching of math and also to show how it comes up in everyday life. Like you said, like find a parallelogram somewhere in the school. That's great. Where can we get the book?
So it's available on Amazon and also through our website, but you can get it shipped directly to you on Amazon.
And what's the title?
It is called The Ultimate A through Z Math Scavenger Hunt.
Oh, good. That sounds so good. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to put how to get it in the show notes for the...
Sure.
So let's see. What else? I was thinking about something, then we got into the book. I can edit this, so that's...
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if you could or not.
No, I can edit this. But I was like, oh, wait. I guess what plans do you have for the future for Math Refresh?
So I do want to continue expanding our private tutoring division. I think that is our most popular part of our business, is just helping to support families. A lot of the calls that we get from parents are almost with this air of embarrassment of like, I'm sorry, but I can't do my students' fifth grade math anymore. And it feels like it comes with this little bit of shame, but I don't feel that at all. I completely understand that for a lot of parents, the way that this curriculum is being taught is so different than even when I was in school. And it quite literally takes a mathematician to figure it out how to teach it to students who are 9 and 10 years old. So my goal is to keep expanding our private tutoring to help support families that are starting to feel like they don't know how to help their own students. And it feels like that is a very unfortunate reality of some of the curriculums that we're using, is that parents don't feel like they're able to connect with their students in being able to sit at the kitchen table and help them with their homework anymore, because it is so beyond what we have learned in our time in school. And the demands for what we want students to be able to learn and the skills that we want them to gain are so different in today's world versus when we were growing up. So that is the unfortunate reality of having these higher standards for learning, is it unfortunately takes some parents out of the equation a little bit. My goal is to help re-engage everybody here and offer families the support through our tutors. A lot of our families are very involved in the tutoring process. They will pop on to the call and say like, hey, this is what they got on their test. This is the homework. And so they are still very engaged in their students' learning, just with the addition of our tutors. So I would love to keep expanding across the state. I do feel perhaps another book coming on in the future.
Writing?
Yeah, I think that there's room to keep adding to the children's book genre for math books. There's a series that I learned about years ago of like calculus for babies or quantum physics for babies. And it's very basic ideas, which I thought was fantastic. Having been a calculus student when I found these books, I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. So I would love to continue finding those areas where I can break down some concepts that have such a stigma attached to them as something much more accessible for babies to adults, and to help change the stereotypes around math. I think I just want to keep trying to break that barrier of like math being something so rigid and accessible for people.
No, I think that's a great idea. And I think, too, that the books can be a way for the parents to engage with it with the children.
For sure.
Younger children, too.
Yeah. Even in this scavenger hunt, it is something that families can do on their own. I would say the seven-year-olds doing this book would still need some help with pronouncing some of the words and being able to identify them with a parent's help of like, here's the side of a mailbox. Look, that's like a parabola. So it's definitely a way to get parents re-involved in their students' STEM education.
Yeah. And I love that your aim is to make math more accessible for everyone. Because you are right. There are people that just feel like, oh, I just can't do it. I just can't get it. And yeah, a little bit more help and understanding will help bring them through that.
Yeah. And I would say my hope is that people have a newfound appreciation for where math exists in the world around them. Because whether or not you can do it, you're still going to be subject to somebody else's math equation that you're in. Like, I think an example that I have talked about recently is that, like, with phone bills, like a cell phone bill, like whether or not you understand the breakdown of are you getting a good deal on this or not, like you're still going to have to pay that bill. So if you can gain the skills to be able to analyze what your charges are, and if you are being charged for more than you need, then you're able to make some more informed decisions for yourself. But you would need to have those foundational math skills and analytical skills through math to be able to make those smart decisions for yourself as an adult.
An example, I'm always the one that gets stuck working out the bill after having dinner out with a group of friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you had this, you had that. Oh, and we got to figure the tip and the tax and the, you know, extreme math. But I said, after a few drinks, I refuse to do it, but that's gotta do it.
You're the elected mathematician of the group. It generally does fall to me for those types of things, but thankfully it's pretty easy to do in your head kind of math if you understand those patterns.
Right.
Yeah.
See, math is for everyone.
It is, not just for the geniuses.
I have to tell you, I saw your signs. It's funny, like, you know how once you find out about a new business in the area, then you start seeing things popping up all over. So I saw your signs out in Crandall Park.
You did. Yes.
Why? Yeah. So that's a good place for it.
Yeah. This is definitely my time of year to start letting families know, like, hey, you probably got your student's first test grade back. Like, we're out here. We exist. So a lot of my marketing at this time of year is just guerrilla marketing of here's flyers, here's road signs, here are emails, tell your friends.
We'll hit you everywhere. Well, you're going to be in the Saratoga Business Journal.
Yes, this is very exciting.
To get you in the Glens Falls one as well, seeing you're targeting up here too.
Yeah. Well, so I live in Glens Falls, so I'm like, well, it's my little home community. I want to also focus here as much as my business is based in Saratoga. I don't want to neglect my own hometown right now.
Mm-hmm. So you said you're a member of Palette. So that's a good networking opportunity in Saratoga based. But there's a lot of female-owned businesses that work from Palette. What other ways do you look to get business ideas but also marketing?
Well, I think Palette was the first networking community that I joined. I joined Palette October of 2022, which is when I launched my business. I think from some of my marketing, you can see that it is very Palette influenced of being very bright and colorful and bold. Being in that community did help me to grow as a business owner in feeling very comfortable in my own skin and supported by other women doing the same thing. And that's influenced me a lot in how I run my business. And from there, it's branched out to the Networking at Night group in Saratoga or Saratoga Women in Business. Joining the ARCC was a new move as like, all right, I want to expand just out of the Saratoga area more to the greater surrounding areas, especially I grew up partially in Bolton on Lake George. So the Adirondacks do hold a very special place in my heart. And it seems like the ARCC is a very active and dynamic organization. So I like having these local organizations to be able to meet other business owners or just parents of families and spread the word about what our mission is at Math Refresh, in addition to participating in some more regional and statewide organizations. The Association of Math Teachers of New York State is an organization I've been very active in and have gone to many of their regional conferences and their state conference last year, where I was able to give a presentation on the idea of making play learning something that is more prevalent in a math classroom. I think we see a lot of play learning in elementary school, and then it severely drops off when we make students sit in desks all facing the front in middle school, which is a very sad thing. I think, having worked with middle schoolers, I see how much they just want to like move out of their chairs and they can't, and they want to be active. And we, I think, as a whole education system, start to squash that. So my presentation was about how to engage students through play learning via the book that I wrote, but also just doing scavenger hunts and letting students explore with their learning. So being a part of that organization has been very, very good for me. I've met so many great teachers and other math business owners that are on this mission to shed our stereotype that it's such a black and white and boring type of thing, because I showed up in bright pink with all of my marketing, and I think perhaps was a little shocking, but I am not one to dull my sparkle. So I'm happy to keep showing up in those types of places to help say like, hey, how about this next generation does it a little bit differently, and to help spread the mission among teachers who can actually facilitate that change in their own classroom as well.
Yeah. And I think that is also a good way for you to show girls that they can be good at math and be interested in math and also be themselves while doing it. Do you see that there is much of a divide? I think the divide doesn't come till more after secondary school, do you think? Or
so I definitely see a divide, I would say, around the like 5th and 6th, 7th grade age group. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting and sometimes can be a little bit heartbreaking to watch. I think that with the world that I grew up in as a millennial woman and being good at math, but not really knowing what I could do with it, it did feel a little limiting, where some of the spaces that I found myself trying to be part of, I think when I was looking at colleges, I was exploring like engineering. I was a business major for a hot second when I was in college, and I felt very out of place in those rooms, showing up purely as who I was, but also, hey, I'm really good at this too, but it didn't always feel like a welcome space, and that my options were limited with what I could do with the idea that, like, all right, well, I'm really good at math. Where do I go from here? And I want to create a world where we can answer that questions for girls very enthusiastically of, oh, you're good at math. Here are all of your opportunities in a space that we also see other girls in now. I think in the past few years, there's been such a wave of feminism in a way. I am a little hesitant to use that word, but in the wake of the Barbie movie, surrounded with like the Taylor Swift era's tour, there's been a lot of conversation about what it means to be a woman growing up in this world. And one of the most influential people that I found in that time was an astronaut who wore her Taylor Swift bracelet, her friendship bracelets, to space, and was very unapologetically herself, but is also taking a a mission to space, and that is all of the sides for her. She was not dulling herself in being in a very academic setting, STEM-based setting, while also still showing up authentically. So I am hopeful for this next generation that they can feel that this space exists for them, where they don't have to choose one or the other, where it felt like that was sometimes a choice that it felt like I personally had to make of being authentically myself or trying to fit into rooms that I belonged in, but I didn't feel like I fit in.
Mm-hmm. So I think that women like you are going to help push that through.
Yes, thank you. I hope so too.
No, it's very important. I was involved with an organization that started in Ireland that is now global called Coder Dojo. So it was about teaching coding to kids. And part of my mission in that was to bring more girls into it and not just boys. And so I used to get involved in a lot of initiatives in Ireland that were getting girls into STEM. So
very cool. And there are these organizations.
Yeah,
there are these organizations now like Girls Who Code, where it is just focused on helping girls to gain these STEM-based skills and feel like they belong there as well. So I'm really loving this new wave and the world that these girls are getting to grow up in feels a lot more inclusive for them, and I want to keep holding space for that. I think sometimes it's hard to see girls start to squash their own skills for the sake of peer pressure, I would say, or just what they think is expected of them. That starts happening in that middle school age range where like they start to disengage with learning, whereas before it was something that they were really excited to do. But I think there's still more work to be done in that area where girls don't have to feel like they're supposed to be bad at math and they're supposed to ask a boy for help. And I saw that a lot in pop culture and movies growing up. And I still see some of that happening with students now, which is hard to watch. And I keep trying to be like, no, but it's cool on this side. Look, there's all of these girls now. We just didn't have this when I was in school. So I think there's certainly still a very long way to go, but we are on a very good start lately.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to include?
I feel like that about covers it. We talked about the book mission and like private tutoring. That's generally what's been going on lately for the past 3 years.
One more question.
Sure.
So if parents think that their child might need some tutoring, what's the best way to explore that with you?
Sure. So we have a phone consultation with parents where I would speak directly to them, learn about what their student is currently going through, why they think that they need tutoring, and talk about some of their history in learning math in the past, or just generally how they learn. So we have a really deep conversation about their student as a whole. And then from there, set some learning goals for them and pair them with a tutor to work with on that specific course. I do think that it's important to note that tutoring is not only for the students who are failing or on the cusp of failing. I don't necessarily even think it needs to get to that point for students to benefit from tutoring. I think some of my personal best success stories of working with students are those in the like low to mid ease range, that is a very forgotten about population of students because they're not the high performers, but they're not failing. So they don't get a lot of extra services in school, that they're the ones that we see the most change with, because we're able to push them up into the 90s range just by giving them a space to be able to comfortably ask questions and then take those risks with their learning and start identifying patterns and connecting like this topic of their learning with something from last year. And those students, I think, benefit probably the most from tutoring overall, as they are able to feel super confident getting pushed up into the 90s and feel confident going into class the next day, having been able to work with a tutor and sometimes even learn ahead, get a little preview of what's to come. So for families to work with us, you don't have to have a child who's failing or on the cusp. Could be even students in the 90s. Just to have that consistent support, and then to set up a phone consultation with me, just a quick 15-minute chat, and then we'll get you set up with a tutor, and within 2 days, you could be tutoring with one of our teachers.
Okay, that's great. So you've got capacity for a number of students now.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And then as that demand grows so much, then we'll just keep bringing on tutors as we need them.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.